Man, when I know it's producer's choice, I even feel like I shouldn't even be the one reading and doing the call. And it's Busted Pencils, so never mind. Fully Leaded Education Talk. Yeah, it's producer's choice, though. Jacob's choice. Jacob's in charge. This is that day when Johnny and I get to be guests on our own show. And Johnny, before the show, you were kind of giving Jacob a little, are you ready to go? And he seemed fired up, man.
What? No, Johnny didn't have anything to say about that?
That's correct. I said, are you ready? And he said, I'm ready to go. Let's do it. So he's bringing the fire today. It's Jacob, producer's choice.
Guys, I'm ready to do this because I checked and I actually went through the records and the archives of the Busted Pencils show. And at this point, the average producer's choice show is twice as long as the hour-long Saturday show. So I've tried to trim us down, and this is going to be a really good, lean producer's choice show. And I think people are going to be really excited. But before they can get excited, let's listen to the intro.
For Choo Choo producer, Jacob's choice, chairman of the board. Ow!
You now have two choices.
Chairman of the board, Jacob.
Ow! Jacob, chairman of the board.
I bet the board is spelled B-O-R-E-D.
We choose to go to the moon.
Life's full of tough choices, isn't it?
You chose poorly.
Poor.
Choo-choo! This is the Choo-choo. Producer's right. Choice Show. Thank you all for tuning in. Today, I'm lucky to have two great guests on their own shows. Doctors Johnny Lupinacci and Tim Slecker. Fellas, thanks for being here.
Hey, wow. Wouldn't miss it for the world, my guy.
Thank you, Jacob.
Now, here's a topic that I think we're all curious about. How does one actually become a teacher? Is it easy? Is it hard? Is it fun? Emotionally draining? Or maybe all of these things? I assume the answer is going to be, yes, it's nuanced. Today, we're going to put our imagination caps on and imagine that rather than being a rock star radio producer, I was instead an average fledgling youngster with dreams of becoming a teacher one day. Tim and Johnny, very simple. This is another one where you guys can work together. Where do I start?
Oh, where do you start, Johnny? I mean, huh?
Well, I mean, Tim, this is right up your alley.
I know.
But I put out the disclaimer here, Jacob, we've lost producers at Civic Media to this pathway before.
Yes, we have.
It's not actually a joke. It's actually a real question that a lot of people have. And we used to have a lot of shows on this topic. So if you go into the back library of podcasts, listener out there, if you're so curious, you can back up and you can hear Tim and I talk about all kinds of different pathways to becoming a teacher. But Jacob, there's a couple of paths. I'll say the most traditional, as in college, you're out there, you're a college student, you're like, hey, I think I might want to be a teacher. And you major in education if you're looking at elementary and middle school, and you pick kind of area to be certified in, and you kind of major in it, and it becomes sort of your degree. That's sort of the old school traditional pathway for, you know, young college students, you know, that we call it kind of a traditional route to becoming a teacher. But Jacob, your question, I think, is a million-dollar question, because there are so many great folks out there who stumble into the passion for sharing their knowledge with others. And they say, you know what? I actually like this part of my job or this aspect of the career pathway I'm in. I like mentoring young people. I like passing on my knowledge. I like teaching. Well, there are other and increasingly more opportunities in this area. Call them alternate pathways to becoming a teacher. And there are a few. Tim, you want to kick a few out there?
Hey, yeah. Well, you said the traditional, and Jacob, you're looking at the results of a traditional pathway. That would be me. So I don't know if I'm inspiring or if to do that. But you know what? And just got to give a nod to that producer we lost, Sam Davison.
That's right.
Producer for the John and Gordy Morning Show on the Madison channel. And he is in an apprentice type of program where he now is going back to in Wisconsin, Edgewood College, which where I used to be a dean. And he will be taking his coursework online, and he will be working full time in the Madison School District as a teacher's aide. And while he is working full time and taking his classes online, he will also be getting paid to actually become a teacher. And so the apprentice pathway right now is one of those ways that you take somebody who's got a little bit of experience. They, you know, could be a returning adult, somebody who maybe already has a degree in, say, you know, sociology or something, and they're like, oh my God, there's nothing I can do with the sociology. No, they just, or they've worked and they're like, you know what? I really, as Johnny said, I caught the fever, I caught the bug. I really want to be a part of either sharing my knowledge, mentoring youth, or and or both, even saying, you know, actually too, I'd like to be a coach for a sports team, things like that. So having these, what they're referred to as alternative pathways for returning adults, because Jacob, the traditional way, what Johnny used to say is as we did, you know, you would have to go to college full time as a student during the day, take your classes over a 4 to maybe a 4.5 year period. I don't know. Okay. Some people it takes that long. And at the end, you student teach, and which is where you pay lots of money to go out and do work for free. And then at the end of that, you become a teacher. But you could see that pathway is very limiting in a setting where, or a context right now, which is, oh my God, we need teachers. We have a teacher shortage. If we have to fill the teacher shortage by sending 18-year-olds to school for 4 years with all of that debt that they accumulate, and we won't do this. And so what you're seeing now are there are pathways that recognize that, you know what, there are a lot of people in our local communities who are catching that bug. How do we help them return to school to get both the license and a degree? And Jacob, and here's the other thing, though. You can also always move to Florida.
I was going to say, we are big fans of teacher preparation programs, Jacob. Yeah. We think that it's, you know, like many careers, to be great at something. And obviously here at Busted Pencils, we believe pretty firmly that every kid out there deserves a highly qualified, excellent teacher. And so to become that, you want to go to accredited programs. But there are really exciting things happening. One of my favorites, Jacob, that are around the country, are MIT programs called Master in Teaching, where maybe you got a degree in something like Tim mentioned before, and you go into, for better or for worse, add or subtract a couple of months. It's about a one-year intensive program where you take classes with peers, you are situated in a school, you're getting your student teaching and your classroom experience, and you're going full tilt for a year. And you come out of that with a master's degree and a teacher's license. And those are really, really great programs because, you know, they're excellent teacher candidates. That's what we call people who are studying to become teachers. And they get really great on-the-job experience. And they also get that sort of class time to study, right? Education and classroom practices and all that stuff. Those are great. There are also really cool grow-your-own programs happening around this country. And Jacob, one of the entry points, this is why it's a great producer's choice question. One of the entry points that Tim and I will both throw out there for folks is, you know, if you think this might be you, do some digging around in your local community, reach out to your local administrators, because becoming a substitute teacher is tough work, but it is good work and it's great pay. And you get a good experience of, hey, this is what schools are like. Yeah. You know, you're not expected to be an expert teacher yet, and you're not a babysitter. So you kind of have some plans that teachers or schools leave you with, and you get to kind of test drive what it's like to be in a classroom. So substitute teaching is a great way to get involved and see if it's something you're interested in. The other kind of entry point is becoming a paraeducator, which is, you know, an adult helper in a school. These people are amazing. They help out in the classroom. They get to see great teachers out there. They get to work one-on-one with kids who might be struggling in class or who might need an aid throughout the day to get through parts of the day that are particularly difficult for that kid. So you kind of get to see the flow of an average workday of great teachers out there. So those are two jobs they're paying. Mm-hmm. We need them in all of our schools. There's always a high need for more paraeducators and more substitute teachers. But there are great grow your own programs sprouting up around the country in these great states like Tim's talking about. Wisconsin listeners, you're in a great state to be a teacher and to become a teacher. So there are lots of these, but there are pathways where, you know, school districts will say, hey, we have these really great subs. We have these amazing paraeducators and we're partnering with a teacher training program to kind of, you know, wrap around what their needs are. Maybe they can't move to, say, you know, a college town and take a couple years of their life to become a teacher. But on the job, they can begin doing online classes, you know, Zoom meetings, hybrids, kinds of ways where they become teachers. And these are great programs. Caveat out there, Jacob. We're talking about those great states, Wisconsin, Michigan, New York, Washington. You know, I could keep going, Colorado. I could keep naming great states because there are more great states to be a teacher than there aren't. But in those where I say it's not so great, it's easier to get your teaching license than it is your driver's license. Florida,
Texas.
But that doesn't mean, Jacob, that there aren't great programs in those states.
Right.
It just means that those teachers don't have to opt to be what's called highly qualified. Mm. Right. And that's sort of nationally governed by, you know, what we've said before. We've called into question those accreditation agencies. But, you know, accreditation says, hey, this person went through an accredited teacher program to kind of learn all the things, classroom management, learning theories, you know, strategies for teaching kids different subjects, like how to teach math, how to teach reading, all these things that go into becoming a great teacher. They're not required in every state, but I'll throw it out there. There are great teachers in programs in Florida and in Texas, even though I picked on those two states. Yeah. They don't have to get that credential to become a teacher, but many of them do. Yeah. And those end up being really great teachers in our schools. So those are a few of the options that are out there, Jacob. And I think for listeners and for you, I think that answers the question combined.
And answers the question. And I'll just, you know, give a little bit of more oomph or emphasis to Johnny talking about, too. If you are making that kind of thought process that's coming across, boy, I'd like to be a teacher. You know, the idea of volunteering in your local school as a helper, taking on a part-time job as a para, doing the substitute teaching, those are, I believe, if you're thinking about it, do that, give it a try, because you might come out and go, you know what, I don't really want to be a teacher. What I imagined I thought I would be doing and what I've now witnessed as a substitute, as a para, as a volunteer, it's really not something I'm interested in. And that's perfectly fine. In fact, I would recommend, and I would rather see people who go, you know what, I gave it a try. It's not for me. And then move on. And so take advantage of those opportunities. And I will tell you this though, too, Johnny, I think the best recommendation, if you can, and most states now too have done this with the teacher shortage, have actually made it, and I have some concerns about this, but have made it pretty easy to become a substitute teacher. And what I'm saying is lowered the credentials. So in 1990, when I graduated, actually in the state of Pennsylvania where I graduated, to become a substitute teacher anywhere in the state, you were required to show that you had graduated and obtained a teaching license before you can even be a sub. And now, in Ohio, where I just left, you know, as long as you graduated high school, they were allowing you to become a substitute teacher on a part-time basis. So
again, caveat there, Tim, you have to pass a background check.
Yeah.
You have to go through a training process. But yeah, they've lowered that because of the high need for substitute teachers and more adults in our buildings.
Yeah.
Right? It is out there. It's a great entry point, great way to get some experience. It's not required, though. I'll throw that out there too, Tim, because we might have a listener out there who's like, hey, I think I'd be a great teacher. You probably would be. I mean, it's an affinity. It's a calling. And so sometimes we don't know that when we're 19 years old. And so maybe you're out there, you're an engineer or you're a computer programmer or whatever it is you are. You're, you know, a server out there. You've got great, you know, people skills and you've really enjoyed communicating what you know with patients and being a regulated adult. You're good in stressful environments. You know, you genuinely like seeing young people do well. Well, we need you in our schools. So you can get involved and become a teacher without having to sort of, you know, pay your dues as a substitute. I just threw it out there as like a, hey, that's one of the ways that people kind of get involved and sort of catch that bug. And then they say, ooh, I want to apply for these scholarships into these accelerated programs. And those are the candidates that are oftentimes, you know, accepted. And there are great opportunities out there to have your education paid for, right? And to become a teacher.
Johnny, yeah. And Jacob, I know you're kind of going, okay, you guys, we promised that this one would be nice and tight.
You're very unruly, frankly. You guys are just going back and forth with all this teacher commentary.
Well, you know, when you serve it up to both of us, we have free reign to take as much time as we want.
But, Jay, give a couple shows. Like Johnny said, we've done some shows featuring some of these, alternative programs. And, in fact, in Michigan, we interviewed a bus driver. She was a bus driver for the school district. And while she was still a full-time bus driver, she got in a program at Western Michigan University that allowed her to keep her full-time job as a bus driver while she was also learning and taking classes to be a teacher. And that tuition was fully paid for through this program through the state of Michigan. So, mm-hmm. I mean, it's, and I put that out there because I really want to give the opportunity. If anybody's out there thinking, boy, I'd like to be a teacher, but I can't because I'm a, well, hey, what do you mean I'm a, you know, or I'm mm-hmm. only a, no, this was, you know, we've talked to that. When I was down in Tennessee, met this incredible stay-at-home mom who in her, you know, 30s just decided, you know what, I want to do this. And there was a teacher apprentice program. In fact, the first teacher apprentice program in the country was in Tennessee. And because of that apprentice program, she was able to go to school full time for free and get paid by the school district to become a teacher. And the support that went into creating the opportunity to have an incredibly great person have an ability to become a teacher in her local community. So I don't know. Is this just a one parter, Jacob?
This is a 7-part series we're doing on how to convince me to become a teacher. I like where you guys are taking this because I think we can all understand sort of in abstract how an 18-year-old goes about becoming a teacher. You know, the particulars might be worked out at the university, but you go to college, you get a degree, and you become a teacher. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Bringing in this other direction about people who later in life decide to become teachers is an interesting one. Now, I think what I've learned most of all is that I'm more of a Florida teacher based on what you've been telling me. I find I thrive in low standard environments. But let's say I'm going to try to do this in Wisconsin. I'm here. I want to become a teacher because I produce a podcast. The hosts are kind of mean to me sometimes, and I think I'll just deal with kids instead. They're easier to control. Where do I start? Let's say just in the 24 hours after I have the idea, what is my first thing I should do? Because I'm thinking about being a teacher. Do I go and look for these job postings to become a substitute teacher? Do I call? Do I try to find a friend who knows a teacher, get that one-on-one meeting to just see what it's like? Where do I start? Because a lot of people, that's something that they really struggle to get over. Just how do I get on the path?
That all of the things that you said are all great starting points. I mean, for people who like process and procedure, go to the Department of Public Instruction's website in Wisconsin and look under the teacher shortage, and it lays out all of the approved pathways. But the other one, Jacob, I think really is that, you know, you already live in a school district in that area, you know, make a call and to that local school and say, I'm interested in becoming a teacher. Can I have some time to talk to some teachers, talk to some principals? Because the other thing is that those schools may have their own ability to say, on top of the Department of Public Instruction and the Wisconsin Teacher Apprenticeship Scholarship, our local school district has this also available. So, you know, but for anybody who really wants to find that list of eight, what do you say, agencies, and they're higher education institutions for the most part that have these partnerships locally with school districts, you know, it's right there. And then, yeah, Johnny put it in the chat, which I'm sure, Jacob, you'll put in the podcast notes. But for Wisconsin, you know, right there. And if anybody has a UW in their backyard or any of the great private colleges around there, I bet they have some form of a teacher yep. type apprentice program.
Absolutely. Yep. And we say it all the time here on the show, education is a state right. And so yep. whatever state you're, you know, listening in, if you're interested, just go to the, you know, State Department of Public Instruction. Every state has one, right? And their website, if you just Google into it, you know, becoming a teacher, a pathway to become a teacher in and fill in your state, you'll have a number of options. And like Tim said, real practical step here is the, you know, link. We'll share it in the podcast description. But you click on that and you could see there's all kinds of different choices that you have in different ways you might want to become a teacher. Maybe you're a trade specialist, you know, maybe you have a particular area of expertise, or maybe just in general, you're interested in, you know, education and in schools. Do you want to be a teacher? Do you just want to work with young people? Because there are a lot of ways, right, that the pathway to becoming a teacher, as Tim said, sometimes branches off and you find out you want to be a school counselor, or you'd like to be an administrator or a speech pathologist or a language specialist, you know, all these different things. It takes a village to have good, strong schools. And we try in every state, even those states we give a hard time to, right? That I will advocate those states have these resources available for people interested in becoming a teacher. So that's kind of your first step, Jacob.
You know, talking about the teacher shortage and the need for teachers and the need for subs and the need for people to get involved, would you guys say that this is a pretty good time for people who are thinking about becoming teachers to do so? Because it sounds like, I mean, if you want to do it, that you can start doing it.
Absolutely.
I mean, I'm always saying it's the right time. Yeah. And it unfortunately, Jacob, as you know, it's a tough career. There's no easy work out there. I'll say that, right? People who are great at what they do work hard every day, and teachers most certainly do that. And it's not for everyone because it is strange hours, right? And it requires a certain level of sort of patience and ability to flow with all kinds of different energies in a room, especially when we're talking about young people, right? So, you know, it's not for everyone, but for those who are like, hey, it might be interesting to me, check it out. Yeah, Jacob, it's a great time. I say this every year I teach a new group of teachers. I say, it's one of the hardest times to become a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also one of the most amazing times to become a teacher. And I guess I'm letting a secret out of the bag right now. Jacob, I've said that for all 25 years that I've been, you know, teaching teachers. So, you know, it is always a high need. I think it's an amazing career. It's in a wonderful way to, you know, share your expertise and invest in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, for all of the people listening, check out the show notes too when they're up, because I also put in the National Center for Teacher Residencies and the National Grow Your Own organization. Each of those national organizations will point you in all kinds of different program directions that if you're interested. Johnny, you know, I just, you know, the reason why I think of pushing this, though, too, is because on top of it being, as Johnny said, a best great time, the ability to really, you know, have states and or national organizations, the funding and financing is really there for the first time in a long time. And, you know, that on top of, if you're thinking about it, yes, it's absolutely a great time. And you know what? It's a really great time from the standpoint of going, you know what? The funding that's available to become a teacher right now, particularly for people outside of the traditional pathway, it's a great time, Johnny.
Yeah, and I'll throw out there a couple of other things that, you know, popped into my mind as we were talking that are examples of people I know who have come to me over the years and said, hey, I'm really interested in teaching, similar to Jacob, your question today. And another thing we didn't really mention is you can volunteer and be a helper at, like, we had, you know, Matthew Mooney on here who talked about esports. You know, you can join a club at your local public education, like your local public high school. You can reach out and say, hey, you know, I'm really great at chess. I love playing chess. I notice you have a chess club. Are you be interested in having a volunteer, you know, spend some time with the chess club? You could start to engage in sort of what we call not extracurriculars, but essentials here at Busted Pencils. And you could kind of get your foot in the door in terms of, oh, here's how schools work. Here's what it's like to be around young people. The other thing, I guess this is more of like a where you're at in life option, because for a lot of people, you know, they're already having to work, you know, a full-time job in order to pay bills and live and whatnot. But say you have some flexibility. Another really great option is doing some time you could teach English in other countries. So a lot of future teachers, I find, have gotten the teaching bug. They've, you know, gone abroad and taught English for a year or two. And they're really great teaching English abroad programs. If you might have some flexibility in your life and you're not, you know, geographically locked into one place, you might go, you know, teach English for a year or something overseas. And that kind of experience sets a lot of future teachers also up for a really great pathway to education. I'll throw one more out there too. I think Tim has experience with that as well. As I would say, I always have a handful of students who are, I'll call, non-traditional students. They're a little older, you know, they have some life experience, and they come from our military services.
Yeah.
So if you're a veteran out there, or you've done some time, like maybe you were in the Army or you were in the Navy or the Air Force, I will say that experience sets a lot of teachers up for high success. And there are great programs for pathways for veterans to becoming teachers. And that's another great one. But yeah, volunteer, help coach sport, be part of one of those essential curriculars, you know, get involved, and doors kind of open for you in that career shift.
Jacob.
Yes, Tim.
How do we do?
Well, to summarize for me as a prospective teacher and for all the people out there who have thought about teaching but never had the exact moment where they went and did it, I think what I'm hearing from you guys is there's a lot of different ways that you can start this journey, whether it's going to your Department of Public Instruction, figuring out some of the pathways, calling local schools, seeing how you can get involved. I think the point that we would like people to go away with is that just pick up that phone, make that first call. There are many ways that you can get involved. That sound right to you guys?
Yeah, libraries too. I mean, I'm just one of those guys who could keep going and going. I mean, you ask good questions.
Yes.
Libraries is another great one. Your local YMCA or like youth and community programs, great opportunity to connect with, you know, programming that's happening in your community. Another great entryway are summer camps, like becoming, you know, a camp counselor or an outdoor educator. Maybe, you know, you're a forestry person or you're someone working out, you know, in landscaping and you love being outside, you know, get a job or, you know, volunteer to be an outdoor educator and learn some of those education components that I will say really great teachers I know on those alternate routes, they have those kinds of experiences that kind of sealed the deal for them. They're like, yeah, I definitely would like to be doing this full time with the salary and benefits and all those great things that come with being a public school teacher in a great state like Wisconsin.
Now, usually summaries do not add more information than was previously discussed, but guys,
they do here. They do here at Busted Pencils. We keep piling it on.
Thank you so much for being here. I really have enjoyed the show so far.
It's a Friday once again.
But because it's a Friday once again, we always like to close out with this final segment of the program. It's a little thing we do here. Let's go! Timothy, tell me, pitch a prospective young teacher out there why they should get into this thing of yours.
Well, there is no other position, path forward, career that has the ability truly to change the world. And that's all there is right there.
That's a darn good answer. Johnny, try to follow that up in 60 seconds.
Yeah, I'll be real quick. If you yourself like things to be different at work every day, to be, you know, challenged all the time, to be, you know, thrown a curveball in terms of maintaining your own health and balancing it and giving to others, then teaching is for you, man. It's never the same. It's not a desk job. It's like being out in the field every day. It's exciting. There's highs, there's lows. It's a roller coaster, but, you know, it's a blast. And I wouldn't do any other career than that. So if, you know, if you're interested in it, I'd say go for it and give it a spin.
Folks, I've been your host, producer Jacob. I want to thank Johnny Lupinacci, Tim Slecker, the best guests that have ever been on their own show. Guys, thank you so much for being here. And I want to thank producer Jacob for putting this whole thing together. But Tim,
yes, sir.
I think it's time for something.
Yeah, well, now it's time for your moment of zen. There are people everywhere who want to see a different kind of world, who want to be at one with their fellow men and women, who think that people in other countries are human beings as we are, and that if somebody is suffering anywhere in the world, we have a responsibility to help them.
Oh yeah, men and women, ladles and jelly spoons. Thank you for listening to today's Producer's Choice podcast with, that's right, Chairman of the Board, Jacob. And if you want to grab more Busted Pencils podcasts, well, you just head on over to Apple, Spotify, or you can always get at us at the civicmedia.com website or on our own website, bustedpencils.com. And remember, you can always find great content every Monday for homeroom, Wednesdays for class and session, and on Fridays for producer Jacob's choice. And of course, Pencil Busters. Don't forget, on Saturdays, you can listen to the Busted Pencils weekend broadcast at 3 p.m. Central Time across all the Civic Media networks for 1 hour of your favorite blue collar scholar, Tim and Johnny, and keep Busted Pencils.